Well, hey, we are on week two of a series that we're calling Reboot. And this is basically, let's get started in 2021 and let's have it be a little different than 2020. You know, 2020 was challenging, a lot of things going on, and I'm so ready for a better year in 2021. So let's reboot. You know, I'm not a computer guy. I know how to run a computer, but when it's not working, really all I know is shut it off, turn it back on. Maybe it'll work out better. And that's the idea behind the name of this sermon series is let's get a restart. Let's reboot. Let's reorient ourselves and make sure we're going the right direction here in 2021. And basically, this series is about our vision statement. Here at Good Hope Church, we have a vision statement. Some people might call it a slogan or a mission statement, but it's our compass, our way of making sure that we're going the right direction and doing what God has called us to do. It's reach up, rise up, reach out. And what it means is, you know, reach up. A real relationship with the living God is available to you. You can make a true connection with the living God. And then rise up. A real relationship with the living God will change you. If you make that connection, you will not stay the same. The presence of God in your life, that connection will change you over time. You will become, you will rise up. And then reach out. A real relationship with the living God is a call to action. We are all, as followers of Christ, we are called to action. It's a call to action. So last week, we talked about getting the plank out of our eye. You know, 2020, I believe, had way too much finger pointing, a lot of blaming, and this is wrong and that's wrong. The flourishing and the coming into the misinformation age or the disinformation age happened in 2020. I'm believing God that we'll get past that and mature into truth. But too much finger pointing, I want 2021, as we reboot, let's have it be a year of introspection. Instead of a year of finger pointing and blaming and saying, this is wrong, that's wrong, they're bad, this is terrible. You know, instead, let's look in the mirror. Let's do some introspection. Let's deal with ourselves. Let's take the plank out of our own eye. Then we can see clearly to take the speck out of our brother's eye, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. This week, reboot part 2. We're going to talk a little bit about rising up. 'Tis the season for New Year's resolutions. I hope you haven't given up on yours already. It's early in 2021, but I'm sure by now people have given up. A lot of people have given up on their New Year's resolutions because they just didn't set themselves up for success. Have you ever done that where you had a good plan? Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live my life differently this year. And then after a day or two, you know, you just don't follow through on the plan. And that is a common situation. A lot of times by the next year, you don't even remember what last year's New Year's resolutions were, let alone have grabbed on to success with that. So today, we're going to talk about how to get success with changing your life. New Year's resolutions usually involve what we do or say, things that we want to change for the better. And that's good. It's good to want to change for the better. But oftentimes we'll fail at that. So why do we fail? What goes wrong? Well, here's basically a simple way of looking at it. It's because we want to change the outside without changing the inside. We want to change a behavior without changing our understanding or our motivation. We want to change the things that we say without changing our heart. So an example would be reading your Bible. A lot of people, Christian people, will have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And the question is, what's on the inside? If your desire to read the Bible is based on the mentality of, well, I know I'm supposed to, it's a pointless obligation, but everybody says you should read your Bible, and I suppose I should, so I guess I will, and you see it as a pointless obligation, well, it's going to be pretty hard to keep that resolution, even if you really are trying to be disciplined about it. But if you instead have a different mentality where you have an expectant curiosity about what the scriptures have to say, you want to understand the context. You want to understand what this meant to the people back then. You want to understand what this means for you today and how to put it into practice and to see your life change. Well, then when you read your Bible, you're going to have an expectancy based on curiosity that is going to bring you to it. And that's going to make it a lot easier to keep your New Year's resolution to read your Bible. So we want to change the inside, not just endeavor to change the outside. So let's talk about this. First off, very important thing that we need to know, as Christians, God expects us to do right. Very important concept, very important thing to say, because that actually can be a little bit controversial sometimes, but God expects us to do right. I want to read a couple of sections of scripture, Matthew 12, 36 and 37, then we'll go to John chapter 5. But Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says this. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So we are going to have to give an account for the words that we say. God expects us to do right, and that includes saying the right thing. Speaking life, not speaking death. Speaking blessings, not speaking curses. Speaking truth, not speaking lies, misinformation, falsehood. What we say matters. God expects us to say the right things. And then if we go to John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 24 through 30. This is along the same lines, but much more complex. It says this, Jesus again is speaking, and he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." So Jesus is speaking, and again, there's some complexity in there. It isn't, you know, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, there's a scoreboard, and as long as we do more good things than bad things, we win and we go to heaven. It's more complex than that, certainly. But don't miss what Jesus says here in verse 29 of what we read. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Without getting into a theological frenzy and going off into, you know, some tangents and ditches and into the weeds, here's the reality. God expects us to do the right thing. He expects us to live right. He expects us to do right. He expects us to say the right things. God expects us to do right. We don't want to, again, I don't want you to get off on some theological tangent. You know, maybe you're prone to that. I hope not. But if you are, I don't want that to distract you from actually trying to change. Sometimes people stop trying to do right because instead they go off in some strange theological place. You want to be changed. We're called into a new life. We're called to live right, and don't miss that. So let's look at how we change by going into the context of what we read in Matthew 12, 36, and 37 by starting over in verse 33 and then reading through verse 37. And we'll see Jesus describe something very, very important. Chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 33. Again, this is still Jesus speaking in the verses before what we read. He says, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So here, Jesus is saying something very, very important. And that's simply this. In order to do right, in order to say the right things, we need to have the right thing on the inside. You know, if a tree is good, if it's an apple tree, it's going to bear apples. And so what's on the inside is going to come out. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So we have to change the inside before that's going to show itself on the outside. So we need to change from the inside out. We need to get the right stuff on the inside. Another example is from Matthew chapter 23. I love Matthew chapter 23. That's when Jesus is chewing out the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious leaders of the day, because they'd kind of taken the things of God and gone into the weeds and caused a significant problem. So this is what he says. Jesus says to them in chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." So here, Jesus is calling out the hypocrisy of the religious day, where they put on a front. They acted all righteous and pure and holy and all that, but on the inside, they were everything but that. They were full of greed and self-indulgence. They're about themselves and what they want rather than about others in the kingdom of God. But they pretended to be about others and the kingdom of God, so they were hypocrites in that. And then Jesus says, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean as well. If you clean the inside, it's going to be a lot easier to appear like you've got something going for you in the spirit realm, that you're following God effectively. So how do you clean the inside of the cup and dish? Because we really haven't gotten anywhere yet. Okay, we need to do right. In order to do right, we got to have the right stuff on the inside. But if we don't know how to get the right stuff on the inside, it doesn't do us any good yet. We just realize, oh, yep, looked in my heart, not so great. Now what do I do? There's an answer. You might have tried some of these wrong things when you try to clean the inside of the cup and dish. You might have tried willpower. You know, I'm just going to make it happen. But again, so many people, they try to read their Bibles just based on willpower. But if you have a sense of just pointless obligation, it's going to fade off. But if you have a right heart where you love the word, you have this curiosity about the things of God, and you have an expectation to find amazing things in the word and to understand, then you're going to be drawn to it. So willpower isn't going to do it. Some people, you know, just denial. Nope, I'm fine. My heart's good. I'm fine. But denial doesn't work. You can justify, you know, well, you know, everybody has problems and I got problems too. And I'm just going to do the best I can. And so then you justify. Sometimes people just give up. Yeah, this is who I am. I've got a dark heart, and that's just the way it is. God's going to have to figure it out. Don't give up. Don't justify. Don't walk in denial. Don't try to do willpower or only willpower. You know, your will is involved, but willpower on its own isn't going to get the job done. But there is an answer. How do we clean the inside of the cup and dish? How do we clean the inside? Well, God gives us the right stuff on the inside by filling us with His Holy Spirit. This is the simple answer. The Spirit of God pushing out the wrong spirits, the wrong understandings, the wrong mentalities, the wrong motivations, just the fleshly, sinful things, pushing those out as we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we get the right stuff on the inside. And this right Spirit of God is there for the asking. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 11. And read verses 11 through 13. Just a simple thing that Jesus says. Again, this is Jesus speaking in Luke 11, and he says this: "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know how to care about those that you love and to give good things to them. Well, what about your Father in heaven? He loves you in such a deeper and more pure way than we can love each other. And Jesus says, so your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, because he knows how to give good gifts and he loves us. So the Holy Spirit is there for the asking, but that reads easier than it does, if you know what I'm saying. Like, okay, well, I got to get my heart cleaned out. Lord, fill me with your spirit and push out all the yucky stuff. Amen. Am I just fixed now? It's a process. You know, there can be those great moments in time that are just wonderful, but also there's a process that we fight through. We can fall into things like in Luke chapter 9, we see a situation with James and John, which I just love this section of scripture because it shows that even those who are walking with Christ can have problems in their heart, can be in a bad spot in their heart. And trying situations can really show what's in their heart. You know, when the fence is shaking, you're going to fall off one side or the other. People either fall towards God or they fall away from God. But when that shaking happens, like 2020, there's a lot of shaking going on there. Some people fell towards God to grab onto the good things of God, and some people fell into darkness and bitterness and hate and strife and all that yucky stuff. And that's something that we see here. So let me just read Luke 9, 51 through 56. It's a hilarious situation. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So this is about when Jesus is finishing up his ministry. It's time for him to be taken up to heaven. Verse 52. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to stay in a Samaritan village, but the Samaritans don't like the Jews, and so they refused him. I'm sure it was very offensive and all that sort of a thing. And James and John, basically, they're like, oh, they're so mad. They ask Jesus, "Should we call down fire from heaven to kill everyone in this village?" And Jesus is like, "Nah, guys, let's not do that. How about we just stay somewhere else? It'll be okay." You know, Jesus didn't come to this earth to call down fire and kill people who make, you know, mistakes like that. Instead, Jesus is here not to judge the world, but to save the world. And James and John still had in their heart a desire to defend Jesus and to be offended and to want to call down fire from heaven to destroy this village. And that's just amazing stuff. It shows that even James and John, at this stage of the game, being with Jesus probably here for about 3 years already, they still didn't have the right heart and the right understanding of what God was trying to do. Instead, they want to call down fire from heaven and destroy those who are opposing Jesus in a very soft way. "You can't stay with us. We don't like you." You know, they still didn't have the right stuff. And what I want you to know about that is, don't be satisfied with not having the right things in your heart. Don't be satisfied with looking in your heart and seeing that there's still darkness there. Instead, keep fighting to grab hold of the Holy Spirit, because being filled with the Holy Spirit involves a few different things. I'm just going to talk about that a little bit, because this can be, some people seem to just get it and other people have trouble understanding these things. I'm going to give you just a few simple things to understand about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The first thing is, seeking and asking is definitely part of it. We need to seek the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God for the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to be cleansed on the inside. You know, "Lord, clean the inside of the cup and dish of my heart that I may do right. Fill me with your Spirit." You need to pray and seek along those lines. And then you need to look and see what's in your heart. Because, you know, again, it's easy to read, "God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask." But when we're trying to grab hold of it, it's more difficult to see that happen. And of course, in the scriptures, we see many examples of people struggling in this process of grabbing hold of the things of God. And that's what we see in our own lives. And so Jesus does say that we should ask and God will give, because he knows how to give good gifts. But it's also a process, a maturing process, a battle that we go through. And so after we pray, then we're going through our lives and we need to keep evaluating our heart and where it's at. And we can compare it with Galatians chapter 5, because Galatians chapter 5 is that section where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to read kind of a section from verse 16 down to the end of chapter 5, verse 26, and make sure that we can grab hold of this process and this battle that there is and that there was in the New Testament believers, there is today for us. We're wanting to grab hold of these things, but it can be a process. So let's read Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul says to the church in Galatia, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." So we see here that we're to walk by the Spirit, not gratify the things of the flesh or the sinful nature. You know that tug inside of you. There's the things that you know are good and the things that you know are wrong, and you battle between the two. You know you should think about other people, but you're feeling very selfish, you know, and that sort of a thing. Or you know you should forgive, but you're really, really angry. And these things are battling inside of you. And as we go through that battle, we can look at these lists. The list of the acts of the flesh and the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And we can see what's going on in our hearts. You know, some people, they have dissensions and factions and envy and selfish ambition and discord and hatred. And they think that that's from God. That's not from God. Even when you see injustice and just messed up wrong things, your heart should be full of compassion to bring change rather than hatred and discord and envy and all that sort of a stuff. So the things that came up in 2020, what did they reveal in your heart? Did they reveal that there was love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and the like in your heart? Or did stuff that sounds more like dissensions, factions, selfish ambition, rage, hatred, discord, you know, that sort of, is that what came up? As we go through this process of asking for the Lord to clean the inside of the cup and dish by putting His Holy Spirit in us, filling us with His Spirit, then we need to look and see, oh, there's still stuff in there that's not right. And then we seek and we ask again. You know, it's lather, rinse, repeat. I haven't looked at a shampoo bottle in a long time, but the last time I did, the directions said lather, rinse, repeat. And this is part of cleaning the inside of the cup and dish. You need to keep after it. You need to keep going. You know, you ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and then you go live your life, and then you ask again, and you go live your life, and you go ask again, and you evaluate all these different things. Again, there can be wonderful moments of God meeting you where you're at and your heart being changed. I've experienced wonderful moments of the Spirit coming on me and my heart being changed. But also, I've experienced that there's maturity that needs to happen as we battle through this over time, and we need to lather, rinse, and repeat. We need to clean the inside of the cup and dish, ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit, and then evaluate, where are we at? Was the stuff that just came from the inside of me the things of God, or was it the things of the sinful nature, the things of the flesh? And then you look and you say, oop, nope, got some yuck in there, and you got to keep after it. It brings me to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. I guess I have lots of favorites. But this section here, the writer of Hebrews seems very frustrated with the people. And this is what it says. So let's just read it. It says here, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So you see the frustration of the first few verses we read, and then verse 14 is kind of the crux of the matter that I want to get at. It says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Constant use, trained themselves to distinguish. What this means is it's not just a snap of the fingers and then all of a sudden everything is great. There's a process that you go through of training and trying to get free from dark things in your heart and the things of selfishness and the sinful nature and all those things while you try to grab hold of the things of God. And it takes time. It's something that requires constant use and training and getting discernment between good and evil. It's not just a snap of the fingers again and then it's all good. It's a process. So don't think that if you tried this once or twice, that you've succeeded. It's like trying to run a marathon. You got to train first. You don't just run a marathon. You got to work and train, and then you mature as a runner and you get to the place where you can succeed. And it's the same thing with cleaning the inside of the cup and dish. We have to work at it because it's a process. It's a maturing process. It's a growth process. So embrace that growth process. Just like training to run a marathon, just like wanting to write a novel. You know, you don't just sit down one afternoon and write a novel. There's a process you have to go through in honing your skills and developing the story and doing your research. A process to get to these goals and this place of spiritual growth is the same way. It's a process and we have to fight our way through. It's a battle and a process. Again, there are also those wonderful moments of change, but even when you have those wonderful moments of heart change, there's still a process that you go through of maturing and getting stronger. But the reality is, if we don't go through this process, then we can't take care of what's on the inside. And if we don't take care of what's on the inside, then the things on the outside are not going to get taken care of because our willpower isn't going to be enough. Our dedication isn't going to be enough. It's going to fall off. Our New Year's resolutions are going to be ignored again for another year. And we'll start over from being in the same place or worse next year. But if we go to the inside and we deal with that, if we clean the inside of the cup and dish, then we will naturally do and say the right things, and you'll keep those resolutions or you'll be able to walk in step with the Spirit. So don't forget, though, the inside of the cup and dish keeps getting dirty, so you got to keep cleaning it. It isn't just a one-time thing. Even when you get to a place where you've got some spiritual growth, it's going to need to continue because if you stop, you slide back down and the darkness comes back in. So you got to keep at it. Don't forget the inside keeps getting dirty, so it needs to keep being clean. All right, so this is basically our Rise Up sermon in our sermon series about, you know, reboot and reconnecting with Reach Up, Rise Up, Reach Out. The rise up, you know, be able to do the right things and say the right things. That's what rise up is, rising up out of the junk that's been holding us back into who God truly created us to be, into doing and saying the right things. But we see here, we're not going to be able to rise up unless we also reach up. Because we need the Holy Spirit of God to come upon us and to fill us in order to change what's on the inside so that then we can do the right thing. So the rise up part of our vision statement really hinges on being able to make that connection with God, because this isn't something you can do on your own. This is something you need a touch from God for. I want to read a section from Psalm 51. As we go to close here today, it's something that King David had to say. I'm going to read it, and then I'll explain the context. because, you know, life can be complicated. Life can be difficult. We can disappoint ourselves. We can be disappointed with other people. There can be bad things that happen. But let's read Psalm 51, 10 through 12, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So here, King David, in Psalm 51, he's praying to God, and these words come out, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or a right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This psalm was written after King David had done something really, actually egregiously bad. This was written after Nathan, the prophet, called him on something terrible that he had done. It was time to go to war, and King David sent the armies out, but he didn't go with the army. King, military leader, he should be with the army. He stayed home. You know, idle hands are the devil's workshop. So he sees this beautiful woman, Bathsheba. And so, you know, he sends for her, hooks up with her. Her husband is fighting in the battle. She gets pregnant. He does a whole bunch of different things to try to cover this up. And eventually he has the husband basically ambushed in battle to be killed so that then he can marry her and kind of cover it all up. So there's adultery, there's lies, there's murder. I mean, this is bad. And he thinks he's got it all covered up. But of course, it's recorded in the scriptures for us to read. So the cover-up didn't work at all. And Nathan calls him on it. Nathan brings it out. And then David realizes what he's done. He snaps out of it. And all of a sudden, he sees the truth and he is deeply ashamed. He's no longer caught up in the lies and the deception of sin, but he realizes, oh, wow, I've failed miserably. And then he writes Psalm 51. You know, maybe you're in a situation in your life where you've got things that you're ashamed of. You've got things in your life that you don't want to face. And like King David, trying to cover it up, trying to do this and that to make sure it doesn't come out. But, you know, God sees everything. And most of the time, other people do too. It's time to get forgiveness. It's time to make it right with other people as best you can. Then it's time to clean the inside of the cup and dish so you don't have to keep doing that anymore, so that you're not going to repeat those same things over and over. And that's what King David was endeavoring to do here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or a right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Maybe that's where you're at. You need true forgiveness. You need to make it right with people. But then you need to change on the inside. Willpower and shame will last for a little while. Then it'll go away. You need the Holy Spirit within you. You need to seek God to bring his spirit. You need to evaluate where you're at. You need to lather, rinse, repeat, and keep going with that. And if you've never come to Christ, here David talks about restore to me the joy of your salvation. And we know in New Testament times, this salvation includes being free from the wages of sin, which is death, and brought into everlasting life. As we receive forgiveness from God, are brought into being an heir, a child of God, and we receive the eternal inheritance in his name. If you've not turned your life to Christ, now is your time. We're going to pray. I want you to turn your life to Christ. That means ask God for forgiveness and pledge to learn God's ways and live God's ways in this life. So if you're in that place where you need forgiveness, you're like King David, you knew better, but now you've done something you're ashamed of. If you need to come to Jesus in the first place or renew that because you've wandered away, let's pray. Let's grab hold of that right now. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, that even though King David did deep evil things, he was a man after your own heart. And when he was confronted with his wrong, he snapped out of it. His heart was broken. And he came before you, and even though he had done such terrible things, Lord, you brought forgiveness to him. You did restore him, and you will restore us. Lord, when we face our deepest, darkest secrets, the worst part about who we are, Lord, we can bring that before you and receive forgiveness. But Lord, let us not hide it inside the cup and dish, but Lord, we must clean the inside of the cup and dish. So Lord, we come before you and we lay our failures and our sins and all the things we're ashamed of before you. And we say, Lord, clean those things. Help us, Lord, send your Spirit into us. Wash our hearts clean. Create in us a right spirit. And don't cast us out of your presence, but Lord, fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, for those who are listening or watching right now who need to come to you, Lord, I pray you'd prompt them just to pray a simple prayer of, please forgive me of my past. I want to learn your ways and I want to walk with you. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to walk in your ways. And Lord, bring me to the other side, to eternal life. Lord, you are so good. You love each one and you want us to grab hold of your good things. So Lord, I pray a blessing over each one that's listening right now. I pray your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your love would be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.